heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, available on iTunes, on Audioboom, wherever podcasts are found, really. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Excited to be with you all here on this Tuesday, talking about the Pelicans offense and kind of the direction everything's going to be going. If you listened yesterday, I had Adam Matas on from Locked On Nuggets, talking about the impact that new Pelicans assistant coach Chris Finch had made there with the offense being centered around Nikola Jokic and how, you know, it could kind of translate over to the New Orleans Pelicans. I'm going to dive in deeper about that today. Want to talk some more about what you'll see next year, the different direction they're taking, because with Robert Pack leaving, he focused mainly with the guards and helping them, and all of a sudden he's gone. You have the future of Jrue Holiday up in the air, unsure if he's going to return or not. And all of a sudden, maybe the Pelicans are kind of trying to hedge a little bit and get out ahead of potentially Holiday leaving. And if you run less of a point guard-centered offense and one that focuses more on a passing big and some point boogie, which I'm really excited about, you can kind of get ahead of that and not worry as much if he leaves and you're not all of a sudden left in a lurch, left with a dearth of talent and someone to run the team. So I think this is a very clear signal in what the Pelicans are going to be doing. I'm going to also read you guys some quotes from Alvin Gentry as well, what he said over the past few weeks, because I think it gives us a very clear picture of what the Pelicans are going to be trying to do in the offseason, what type of players they're looking for in free agency, and what this offense is going to look like next season. I want to welcome anyone who's recently started tuning in to Locked On Pelicans and thank all of the listeners who've been with me for a while now. It's been a lot of fun doing this with no end in sight. You guys, do me a favor, subscribe to the podcast, like it on, or follow it on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels, and like it on Facebook. Just give it a search. Press those few buttons. It helps the podcast, keeps it free for you all, and coming to you 4 or 5 days a week. The only Pelican-centered podcast doing this right now. So press those buttons. Do me that favor. So let's talk about this Denver offense and then kind of read the tea leaves around the Pelicans a little bit here. But to simplify it, and Adam talked about this better than I ever could yesterday here on Locked On Pelicans, and basically it starts around Nikola Jokic, their 6'11 center, who's basically playing point guard for him. And they'd like to get him the ball on the three-point line around or around the free throw line and kind of have the offense and the rest of the actions during each set initiate from there. So if you get him the ball on the three-point line, you can easily run a dribble handoff where he hands it off to a guard who's all of a sudden going to cut to the rim, or they try and cut around him off of his hip, and then he makes an excellent pass once the defender's been beaten and is behind the cutting guard, usually in that sense. And then from there, it creates kind of a lot of havoc and puts the defense on the back foot, which leads to a lot of open three-point shooters for kick-out passes from those guards should the rim get taken away. And sometimes it also just creates those open three-point shooters because defenders and help defenders are trying to take away the easy cuts and drives to the rim, leaving their man, particularly men on the corners, wide open for kick-out passes or for Jokic just to make a simple pass too, or for the ball to get passed around the horn and around the three-point line to get to those open guys. This is all great in theory, and we're going to talk about the issues with it in a second, but this is kind of how it works for Denver. It requires a lot of off-ball movement, of Jokic getting that and making the right read and pass and different things like that. This will work with the Pelicans. We've seen DeMarcus Cousins and how he's not only just a willing passer, but is a good one and can make the right reads and make the right pass and get some of those balls in there through the different lanes without it getting swatted away by a defender. You could see a very similar thing run with DeMarcus Cousins here in New Orleans and having this be less of a point guard-centered offense and centric offense, and one very similar to being built how Denver does, especially now that Chris Finch is coming from there to New Orleans, and he's largely the guy who's more or less thought of as responsible for reinvigorating Denver and turning them into a top five offensive team. I've talked about how playing in transition with Davis and Cousins actually worked pretty well for the Pelicans at times, especially with Cousins as the trailing man in transition. He'll get a wide open 3-point shot once the defense has tried to take away the transition basket from Anthony Davis or Drew Holiday or whoever was leading the break, and you have Cousins kind of trudging down there, parking his butt on the 3-point line, getting a wide open pass, or being wide open, getting a pass and shooting a three, which he's pretty good at. And you can still run some of that here. But I don't think anyone's going to argue that that's the most effective way to build an offense around two bigs in Davis and Cousins. Maybe it is time to slow it down a little bit and play more in the half court. And again, this Finch hiring seems to indicate that that's what they're going to do. And all of this ties into things Alvin Gentry has said this offseason. He said, you know, they're likely not going to run as fast anymore, that he thinks maybe they need to run a little bit more high-low type offense with DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. So I think you're going to see, and by the way, the quote is, what he said is, I thought initially when I took this job, this could be a team where we could play very much play up-tempo. Now I think with the two guys, we'll play a lot of high-low stuff. I think those guys can coexist very easily. And they definitely can because both have range to pop out to the perimeter and be a threat out there. Cousins has that three-point shooting ability. Davis has that strong mid-range game. So it's not like they're both parked underneath the basket in the paint. You start them off there, and this is where the offense can get really fun and really creative. Start them both under the basket in the paint. Have Davis run up, set a screen for Holiday or another guard who then comes screaming down the paint, receives the pass from Cousins, and then has the easy layup. Or while that guy's cutting, you have another cutter coming right behind him. The defense is going to focus on the first one. That second guy is going to be wide open too, so you have ways to create misdirection and kind of force mismatches there. With the high-low, you can also definitely get Cousins to have the ball on the free throw line, on the three-point line, force a mismatch, try and create a switch where you get all of a sudden get a guard on Anthony Davis. Have him then just roll casually to the basket, get that lob pass from DeMarcus Cousins in something that's going to be pretty much undefendable, especially if he's got a shorter guard on him. They're not going to be able to go up and get the ball, and Davis can grab it and slam it down pretty easily. And by moving away from a point guard-centric offense and getting the ball more to the bigs and letting them initiate the offense and the offense kind of revolve around them, you can run less traditional pick and rolls that could be devastatingly effective. You don't necessarily have to run a pick and roll with, say, Drew Holiday and Davis or Drew Holiday and Cousins or a guard and a big. You can have Davis and Cousins run pick and rolls for each other. Both can attack off the dribble and have very strong face-up games. You can have Davis set the screen for Cousins, who then drives while Davis pops. Or Cousins, you know, delays his dribble attack and then Davis rolls for the alley-oop. You could do it the other way around too, though Cousins is the better passer of the two. That's why you're hearing me mention him more, in that I think he's going to be the one initiating it, where you have Cousins initiate the offense, but Davis is considered your finisher and your outlet. He's the guy you're going to end the possession with very often if Cousins doesn't score with the ball himself. What's also good is it can take some of these lesser offensive players, guys like Solomon Hill, maybe Tim Frazier, even Drew Holiday at times, Etwan Moore, and free them up to score in different ways than they were scoring before. So I have an article over on bourbonstreetshots.com. It's up there today. I definitely recommend you give it a read if you want to learn a little bit more in depth about what I'm talking about today. But say you run a Cousins-centered play set at the top of the three-point line, and he's got the ball, and you've got someone like Etwan Moore comes curling around him. And the way this works is, because Etwan Moore is a pretty good outside shooter, the defender is largely going to go above Cousins. It's not a screen because Cousins still has the ball, though he's kind of setting one. He's going to have the ball, and the defender's going to go between Cousins and Moore, because if he goes below Cousins, think like a pick and roll type situation, if he goes below the screen, you're going to leave that perimeter shooter wide open for Cousins just to toss him the ball for an easy catch and shoot, and hopefully they make it. And keep in mind, hopefully, because I'm going to circle back around to this in a second here. But they're not going to do that. They're not going to leave that wide open perimeter shot. So instead, they're going to stick close to the man, go between Cousins and, say, Moore here. And then when Moore turns the corner and goes off the hip of Cousins straight to the basket, all of a sudden that defender is going to be behind Moore because there's just no space for him to get in front of him. Now Moore's got a step on his defender. All Cousins has to do is just kind of lob the ball in, kind of like a pitch and catch type situation where he just drops it in above Moore, who's easily streaking to the basket and can score. And then if defenses collapse onto the basket and try and take away this cut, that's where you have guys in the quarter, Solomon Hill, you have Davis there, whoever they're going to sign is most likely going to be the other guy. These guys are in the corners waiting to get the kickout pass from this player. And all of a sudden, this offense looks a whole lot more in sync. There's a whole lot more flow to it. And the Pelicans preached ball movement last year and off-ball movement. We didn't quite see it. And that's where the issues come in with this that I'm going to talk about in just a second. So before I talk about where the Pelicans are going to struggle and why, you know, I'm very optimistic about this signing, but there is still some very real things on why this might fail and might not work. And then we're going to have a whole different discussion all of a sudden if that's the case next year. But your company could be right here. Sponsor Locked On Pelicans and your company is going to reach a passionate audience that is 78% between the ages of 18 to 44, 75% from 25 to 54. Really good demographics right there. Recent studies have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more likely to interact with sponsors than other forms of media. Get your company great exposure right here on Locked On Pelicans. Rates are very reasonable and based solely on the number of listeners, so you're getting your value's worth. Email me. It's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com. That's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com to get started for your company today here on Locked On Pelicans. So it's great to talk about how hiring Chris Finch can revitalize this offense and revamp it and turn it into, say, the juggernaut that everyone wants it to be. And then the Pels go off and win a title and make the playoffs and everyone's happy and everything's really great. And, you know, maybe that's going to be the case and hopefully that's going to be the case. But there's two big things that jump out to me on this and the big concerns regarding it. So the first one is that Denver Nuggets offense revolves around a lot of off-ball movement, a lot of off-ball cuts. And to do that, you really need to have players that buy into it, that they're willing to run around on the court all of the time, getting tired and doing that. A lot of players are just kind of lazy, let's be honest. You also have the right intelligence knowing when to time your cuts. And again, it takes the buy-in, the energy level, the effort, the basketball IQ, the hustle, all of that to pull this offense off. And if it doesn't, it's going to fail pretty much, and you're going to see the same stagnant Pelicans offense as last year. And frankly, those words I just used, work ethic, hustle, basketball IQ, and the like, those aren't really words used to describe this Pelicans team and the players on the roster, particularly around Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins and, to a lesser extent, Drew Holiday. That can be a problem. You need to get the buy-in from these guys right away to start the year. Otherwise, if you're trying to figure this out and your whole plan is to have all this off-ball movement, but players don't want to do it, you're running into a very, very stagnant offense that's not going to be anything good, and it's not going to work whatsoever. And you can have all the greatest coaches in the world here and all the right ideas on how to build an offense around these two players, but at the end of the day, it still requires execution. And regarding that execution, it also takes making shots. That Denver team had a lot of very good three-point shooters on it. They ranked 11th best in three-point shooting percentage. Pels could be there. They get a lot of open three-point looks. We've talked about this, the open three-point shots and uncontested shots they make. The problem with that is they don't shoot particularly well from there. Pels were actually 9th worst when it came to uncontested three-point looks in the league when it came to shooting percentage from there. That's not good. This team clearly needs to upgrade shooting this offseason, very much so, because if you don't have guys that are going to make shots, who cares if you give them wide open looks? You're still going to struggle to score points. That's an important thing. So what's all this mean? And I think it kind of gives us a roadmap for what the Pelicans are going to look like next season. So partially, it's going to be point Boogie. And I think a lot of this has to do with the uncertainty around Drew Holiday and whether or not he's going to re-sign. And by going to a more big-centered offense, you don't really worry about it as much if he re-signs or not. You know, the Pels are certainly going to make him an offer and try and force his hand and get him to re-sign right away. The problem is he might want to take his time, and if all of a sudden he signs with another team after waiting around and going through the whole free agent process, as he should, by the way, and has every right to do, and I don't think anyone's going to fault him for doing so, he could leave the Pelicans in a lurch where all of a sudden there's no real good ball handlers left on the market, no good point guards, and they need to try and figure out their offense another way. Well, now you kind of preempt that and get out ahead of it, and you can focus on making it a big centered offense around DeMarcus Cousins, around Anthony Davis with Chris Finch. And it came out that with Finch joining the team, it sounds like Robert Pack is gone. He wants to become a head coach. He's going to pursue head coaching opportunities in the D League, soon to be G League. But the thing is, one, who knows how amicable it is or whatnot, but Pack spent all of his time primarily with Holiday and the other point guards and the guards and helping them. So you can kind of see how this offense is shifting from a point guard-centered offense to one centering around the bigs that's going to need shooters with it. And when he was on the Vertical podcast, when I played clips from it for you guys last week, I think, or the week before, you know, Gentry himself said, we need to upgrade shooting and not just add new talent to the roster, but our current guys need to shoot better because this offense won't work without it. So you can see, maybe they're not as worried about signing a point guard. Maybe they're worried more about three-point shooting. So all of a sudden, Holiday can make his decision, can take the time, and the Pelicans will gladly have him back. But they can also go out and sign a couple of shooters in the meantime while they're waiting for him to make a decision. And all of a sudden, you can add some shooters onto the team. And if you look at those college prospects that they've been linked to, the ones that I talked about saying maybe they're looking to sign these guys to the summer league team, almost all of those guys are spot-up shooters or off-the-dribble shooters and three-point shooters. They're almost all guards except for one of the names that had come out. So you can see where this team is trying to go and what they're trying to do. And in theory and on paper, it makes a ton of sense. The problem is, can they get these guys to actually buy in and do what's going to be needed to make this offense good? And can they find the shooting? That's really what is going to be key for this team. If they can get both of those, you're looking at maybe a six seed here because this offense could be very good. I don't think it's going to jump to top five good as the Denver Nuggets did, at least not overnight. But if you can get it into the top 15, top 10, I think you're looking at a very successful season for the Pelicans next year with maybe six seed winning some games in the first round of the playoffs before ultimately probably losing. But hey, I think that'd be considered a big improvement right now for the team. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Thank you all for listening today. Exciting times with Chris Finch coming aboard, potentially revamping the Pelicans offense. Still, though, unanswered questions regarding Jrue Holiday, and frankly, getting some shooters on this team is still going to be important. We're going to be talking about that and more in the rest of the week here on Locked On Pelicans, so it should be a lot of fun. Be sure to stay tuned. Thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.